Good morning. You've tuned into the morning show here on 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio, and it is Thursday, November 17th. I must be Jack, and across from me would be Jim.
That's me.
And here, joining us in the studio this morning, very special guest, Caitlin Shook.
Hello.
Of the Shook Twins.
She's half a Shook.
Yes, she's members. She's a member of the Shook Twins for long-standing member of
That's
the Shook
right.
Twins.
Lifetime member.
Yes.
As long as she can remember.
Yeah. And we also are going to talk a little bit about the Panada Theater as well, where she's also a member of the board of directors. First things first, should we talk about the weather?
Weather what?
Was it windy at your place last night, Jim?
It was windy. We still have a ton of leaves on trees in our yard.
We do not have a ton anymore, but you've got different
trees. We've got sycamores, yeah. You know, the non-fruit bearing decorative pear tree in the backyard, and I don't know when I'm going to rake them. Maybe next spring.
Yeah,
they can be composting over the winter.
It does. Yeah, it seems like winter is more or less here, and we keep getting we got a little dusting of snow last night.
Yes, we did. Uh-huh. And Schweitzer opens this weekend.
Oh yeah,
before Thanksgiving. How about
yes,
that?
For a couple of days.
Yeah.
What's the weather look like?
Here's Jack? Your forecast.
Okay.
This from the National Weather Service. Sunny today and a high of 30 degrees.
Oh,
yeah.
Put on your sunscreen.
Uh-huh. Northeast wind 13 to 17 miles an hour with gusts as high as 29 miles an hour. Mostly clear tonight with a low around, get this.
What?
9.
Tonight?
Single digits.
Single digits?
Yeah, low of 9.
No.
Yeah. Tomorrow looking more like more or less the same as today. High of 31 degrees and then down to 11 on Friday night. 33 on Saturday. patchy fog, then sunny. And the high of 33, low of 14 on Saturday night. High of 35 on Sunday and only partly sunny on Sunday. Low of 19 degrees as the cloud cover comes in. On Monday is our next chance of precipitation, not a whole lot, but then on Monday night, snow is likely. So it looks like a cold, clear weekend, and then snow coming in next week.
Well, I know people who have already been ice skating, you know, that the ice is really nice, my understanding is.
That's my understanding. It makes me nervous to ice skate this early, I think. Yeah.
Spoken like a true Minnesotan.
It's true. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It seems a little dodgy to be out there this early in the season.
You know, I mean, but a lot of the times if you ski, not ski, but skate on the sloughs, it's not that deep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you go up to your calves.
I guess that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not used to, you know, bodies of water being soft in the center still are, I don't know, makes me a little
Well, where, I grew
dodgy.
Up in northern Indiana, they would flood the tennis courts.
Yeah.
And then you didn't have to worry about falling through. You just simply, you know, you're probably skating on about 4 inches of ice.
That's what I'm used to in Minnesota as well. Or even dedicated rinks where they'll have, you know, the hockey rinks, boards, and all summer long they're just sitting out there unused with grass in the middle of them.
That's right.
Looking kind of curious. And then...
Caitlin,
and then it comes.
Caitlin, as a Sanpointian, do they flood the courts here, the tennis courts here, for skating?
Not that I know of, but I don't know.
But you got the lake.
I'm not a hardcore skater, so I don't know.
What winter sport are you?
Snowboarder.
Ooh.
A shredder.
I'm a shredder.
A shredder. She's a shredhead.
Yeah. I tell you what I'm going to be up to today.
Okay, wait.
Ready for this?
I'm bracing myself.
This is your news alert for fans of this radio station. As long as this wind doesn't prove dangerous, it looks like this is the perfect weather to put up an antenna on a new tower in Pend'Oreille. Meaning that hopefully, if all goes according to plan, we'll be broadcasting at full power once again. At least, I don't know that we'll get there by the end of today, but by the weekend anyway. Today, so tomorrow, we can get everything.
For people who have not been in tune with what's happening, what will be full power as opposed to what we are doing now?
We will have, right now we have really good service, I think, in the town of Sandpoint and pretty decent out into Ponderay. So most of the places where people live close together. But outside of that, our service area, which used to cover quite a distance, has shrunk a lot because we are broadcasting at a much... Our tower right now is on top of this building, which is only a two-story building, and we are broadcasting at about 250 watts. We will be, when this is all done, we will want to be on a bigger antenna about 100 feet in the air, and we will be broadcasting at about 1,200 watts.
Oh, wow.
So we will have a...
Wow. That's more than double.
Yes. Our broadcast radius is going to go, it should be about back to where it was, depending kind of on where, you know, the fact that it's moved a little bit means that maybe now somebody who wasn't blocked by a mountain will be blocked by a mountain a little bit, but also some people who might have been behind a mountain before won't be anymore. So it'll be a little bit different, but for the most part, it's going to be just back to the way it was before this summer when all these changes started to take place. And of course, we're still broadcasting online. If you want to stream us,
you can stream us. Mm-hmm. And speaking of streaming, I do have, as I do often when I hear from Arlington, Virginia, Alexa, 88.5 KRFY. My sister and brother-in-law in Arlington are saying it's bright and sunny and very windy. Something common with us.
Yeah.
41 now with an expected high of 46 today.
Good sailing weather.
Not Arlington. I'm sure they're not ice skating on the Potomac. But one of the things I do want to say that'll be great once the tower has been moved is that you can return to your office, can't you?
That's right. Yeah, we have a lot of equipment running in this studio right now, or in the office right now. So we
and it's loud.
It's very loud and very it's in the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That will be nice. Hey. Here we go. Caitlin Shook is here. There's a band called the Shook Twins you may have heard of.
No.
And believe it or not, that is not just the name of a band. It is also happens to be the biological situation of the members of the band.
The biological situation.
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's a great way to describe it.
The Shook Twins are our Sandpoint... Sandpoint legends, I guess. I don't know if we can say that. Is that
celebs?
Yes.
Oh, jeez.
She's gonna leave, Jack.
I know.
She's gonna exit out of here, and there goes our interview.
And anyway, and for years and years now, I would say a major event in this town. It has become a tradition for a lot of people. Is the Giving Thanks show, which you've been doing pretty much on an annual basis since when, Caitlin?
This is the 12th annual.
Wow.
So,
12th.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure. We've kind of lost track. And it started when it was at Three Glasses, when Three Glasses was down underneath. Or maybe it was the Downtown Crossing at that point. And then it went to Three Glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we had it twice there.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
So the Downtown Crossing was the... the basement bar in a building that burned down now. So that doesn't exist anymore, right down on the corner of Bridge Street and First.
Exactly.
I think we
did 2 years there, and then we moved it to the Panada. So, yeah, I mean, we're pretty sure this is the 12th annual, so do the math. I don't know what year that is.
And it's on a Saturday,
yes.
November 26th, the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Yep, as always.
And you won't be alone on the stage.
No, this year we always invite at least one act of friendship, but this time we'll have two. We'll have John Craigie. He's been joining us, I think, for at least the past eight, so it's not It's not the same without him. And this year we'll have Harold's IGA opening up the show. Local, cool. Also local legends.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure for me to get to see Harold's in a more official venue, and you can hear them better and see their showcase of how great their songs are. And yeah,
they are very good. I just saw Ben unloading newspapers off the truck.
Today is Thursday.
It is.
What a guy. Mm-hmm.
You bet. Mm-hmm. The reader. I do want to say, in terms of getting tickets, you can get them online at panada.org. And I would suggest that you do that, because I have heard that there have already been 250 pre-sale tickets.
Yeah.
That's the rumor you hear?
That's,
he knows somebody.
Yeah,
that's the rumor I hear. And the seating capacity is about hovering around 500, depending upon, in terms of where stuff fits into the theater. But it's great playing the Panada to a full house, isn't it?
Yeah. It usually sells out. Last year we didn't. It was our first year we didn't sell out in a while. And that was because we did the proof of vax and negative testing. But we're not doing that this year. That's just not a standard in the music business anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, hopefully this year people aren't deterred.
I remember that being kind of a bit. So you did one last year. You hadn't done one the year before.
That's right.
Yeah,
in 2020, we just did a home show from our house.
Right.
We did it on Facebook.
That's right. Yeah. We did it on Facebook.
And still raised quite a bit of money for the Panada. It was great.
Yeah.
These shows are always Panada fundraisers.
John Craigie was with you on that one, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I remember not knowing you that well, so not having the inside scoop. I think but people who listen to music in the town were kind of curious, like, is it over? Are the Shook Twins, is that just something that they did for 10 years and now there just won't be that? It was kind of a big deal when we started seeing posters for the Shook Twins giving thanks at the Panada.
Well, have you seen the posters now?
Yeah, I didn't put the commemorative poster up around town, but Doug Jones that works at the Panada and Lori collaborated on this really cool poster that we're going to sell as a fundraiser for the Panada. And we had Doug... Doug had just made us these really cool graphics that we could stencil onto the little theater. I've been painting the little theater with our other sister, friend, wonderful woman, Zabrielle Dillon, who's also on the board of the Panada.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been painting little murals inside the little theater to kind of tie the little theater in more with the big theater.
Yeah.
And we've had Doug take like one of the murals, there's like all those little murals on the sides of the big Panada. So Doug made a graphic for us to stencil on there. And then he used that graphic to make this commemorative poster. And it has the drunken chicken. If anybody knows that story, we'll be talking about it. Oh, cool.
This is part
of it. Yeah.
That's part of it.
That's the,
yeah.
I ran over to Doug's office and he had part of it, but it's the, I don't know what was said while I was gone. Did you guys talk about me?
I did. I talked all about you.
Uh-huh. Caitlin, please. Uh-huh. But it's part of the wall.
Yeah, totally. It doesn't show it here, but the other side of this has the little drunk chicken. We're going to talk about
chicken.
We'll talk about that a little bit on stage. Zabriel and I have been tracking down the history of that.
Yeah. So that is, for those who don't know, who haven't seen it, it's these are two, what do you call it? Two decorative elements that are on either side of the stage. And on one of them, there's sort of a peacock bird incorporated into the logo, or two of them, and one of the two looks a little less healthy than the other one.
We call it the drunk chicken.
Yeah. Drunk chicken. It's on the north wall.
Yeah.
And there's a story behind it. Mm-hmm. And come on November the 26th, the Saturday, show begins at 7, and you'll find out all about it.
Mm-hmm.
But how exciting. And do you have a playlist all set up yet, or when do you finally...
Yeah.
Actualize it. Ooh.
This show is very different for us than all the other ones because we act as promoters and performers, and there's just so many things involved, and we always try to do some kind of special element when we play these shows just to keep it interesting and keep it just more, something special. It's not just a show for us and for the audience. We think about what we're going to play way farther ahead of time than we do for any other show, especially because we always want to have it really be collaborative. All the sets are kind of bleed together with, you know, we'll sit in with Harold's. Harold's will sit in with us. We're also going to have some special guests, other local artists that are going to be coming. I don't know if I can say, I probably can say it, but Honeysuckle will be in town. So they'll,
wonderful.
Yeah.
All
right. So it's going to be a whole gang on stage, and we'll just, you know, everybody sits in and adds their little flavor to some songs, and it's so much fun.
It's really, in a sense, a homecoming.
Yeah, it really is.
And, you know, not only are you returning to Sandpoint, but you're returning to the Panada, and you two have a long history.
Mm-hmm.
Now you grew up in Sandpoint. Do you have any Panada memories as children growing up?
Oh yeah. Yeah, but the first time Lori and I were on that stage, we were six. We were,
no yeah. way. Oh, wow.
I think it was a Missoula Children's Theater production of what was Alice in Wonderland, and they had us be lobsters. I don't recall any lobsters in the Alice in Wonderland, either the movie or the original play, but for this version, there was a bunch of little six-year-olds are like, what do we do with these kids? Just
make
stick some
lobsters.
Lobster claws on them. I don't know. I just have these memories of me wearing these lobster claws backstage, and the nice play lady was just trying to get us in a line, and we just run out. That was an early memory.
Well, Tweedledee and Tweedledum are right there, too.
I know. Why didn't we get cast as Tweedledee?
Yeah.
We did get cast as the princess and the pauper, though, in when we were in sixth grade. That was our big acting
debut. Ooh,
that was
a step up.
Yeah, we were the stars. And looking back on I haven't been in a play since, really, but looking back and watching us act is really cute and funny.
Oh, you have a videotape of it?
Oh, yeah. Chuck Smith, man. He films everything.
Okay. What fun. Can you tell us a little bit more about John Craigie and Harold's IGA?
Yes. Oh. Well, John's just blowing up. We're so proud of him. He's a, you know, folk singer, troubadour, we've kind of been in each other's circles and following each other and going on tour with each other. And now we share the same manager.
Ah, okay.
Since 2012, I think we became really good friends. And we were just put on a show together in Spokane, randomly, and met him. And we're just like, man, this guy, we got to be friends with this guy. And so ever since then, we're in more of each other's orbit. And then now we're best friends. He's one of them.
Is he mainly centered in the Pacific Northwest area?
He's in Portland. He moved there after we did, and wanted to be closer to all the friends there. And but man, you can't even say he lives anywhere right now. He's just constantly on tour. He's insane. He just got back from Europe. He did UK and all over Europe, really, and just came back for 2 days.
And then off again.
And off again. Just like, how do you do this? And I called him the other day. He's like, yes, I'm tired. Tell everybody I'm tired. Because all of us musicians, we have this, all his peers, we all have this saying, do not compare your musical career to John Craigie's. Because he's such an overachiever. He does like two albums a year, and just like, he's just prolific and insane. And we're all just like, we just feel like we're less than all the time when we think about his career. Anyway. He's killing it. He got a slot opening up for Jack Johnson a few years ago, and Jack is a huge fan, and not only did he get to open up for him at these 20,000-person venues, Jack called him up and had Craigie sing one of his own songs with Jack's band.
Perfect.
I wrote Mr. Tambourine Man, that song, and so 20,000 people fell in love with him every night, and so now he's skyrocketed to the next level, which is really, really cool to see. So proud of him. And Harold's, as everybody knows, is just the local sweethearts. They play often, not as much anymore. They've just been slowing down a little bit, but I think they're really excited to play a more focused show, and they know everybody's going to be listening and have good sound. And
could you give a little bit of Sandpoint history of the story behind the name?
Yes,
because if you moved here when. Within the last, 10 years?
Yeah.
12 years? You wouldn't know.
I think it was 2003? No?
It was before my time.
Before your time? And when was your time?
Oh, I think 2010, something like that, was when I arrived. So, I was...
Okay, so...
So, Harold's IGA was a grocery store that used to be where the Columbia Bank is, the huge new Columbia Bank building. And it was just the star of the town. It was just a delight. Just I just have memories of it. It was very shabby chic, I'll say, and very cheap and comical in its way of being.
Navigating down the aisles was a challenge.
Yeah, lots of faux pas and things, but it was just, it had a lot of heart and a lot of character, and people loved it.
Loved it, absolutely.
It was so
loved it.
Cheap.
Yeah,
and
inexpensive.
There you go. Yeah, and it was right next to the movie theater. Just
the sticky floors.
Yeah, sticky floors. JoJo's. You know,
and there was a laundromat there.
Yeah, there was just so that little. Square, area. Yeah, it was really, I miss that, and it, the old Sandpoint is still in my heart.
I'm sure the Bonner Historical Museum has photos of that whole area.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
But that's Harold's IGA.
Yeah, and Ben, I think Ben was trying to keep a little piece of that old school Sandpoint heart in his music, which it totally does.
In fact, I don't know if I can... I can say that on the air. When you go down Pine Street, what's the first street to the east of Division?
East of Division?
East of Division.
Jefferson, maybe? Washington?
I don't know, but yeah. When you're heading east and you've crossed Division and Pine, look to the right and you'll see Harold's IGA sign.
Yeah.
In the backyard John Elsa.
Oh, that's who it is. Mm-hmm. He's got a whole bunch of cool old signs.
Oh, his backyard is like otherworldly.
Cool.
Yeah. But you can see a little bit of Sandpoint history in the backyard there.
I think Ben has
a few items as well.
Yeah. We missed that grocery store.
You are listening to 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. We're talking to Caitlin Shook of Shook Twins.
Should we listen to...
We might as well.
A Shook Twins song, and we take a deep breath and reorganize and move on from there. What do you have queued up with Caitlin's suggestion?
From 2017's Some Good Lives, we have Stay Wild. And here we go with that, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes for more conversation with Caitlin Shook. Enjoy this music in the meantime.
We have a...
That is Stay Wild. I'd be sort of curious. We're in the studio with Caitlin Shook. When you hear that song, how old is that song, could you guess?
It came out in 2017 on Some Good Lives, but we've been playing it for maybe a year before that. So we probably wrote it in 2016.
Okay, so when you hear it 5 years later, what do you hear? I mean, great song, or... Ooh, I wish we had a little bit more percussion there. Or do you see what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
I mean, what do you, as the performer, you know, part of your history?
That song in particular, and the way we produced it, we had a awesome violinist from Gregory Alan Isakoff's band, and our whole band back then, which has changed. But I'm really proud of that one, how it turned out. But you're right. A lot of when I go back and listen to albums, they're like, "Oh, I could change that. That's too fast." But that one I do like. I still like it.
It's sort of like, you know, with a poet, you know, that when it appears in print, that's what the poet wanted at that point in time.
Yeah.
Not to say that in another edition, the poet might not change it a little, tweak it a little. You know, I mean, I'm sure that's the same way as a performing artist.
Exactly.
I was just reading about The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, the song by Gordon Lightfoot.
You bet.
The Wreck
Superior.
Yeah, and the wreck itself happened a week ago, 1976, I think, 75.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Lightfoot came out with the song. It's one of his biggest hits. But as details of the wreck keep coming out, he keeps going back and editing the lyrics a little
bit.
Really? In his live performances, yeah.
Funny.
He'll find out that it went down, you know, it didn't break up in half. It went down in a different way. So he has to change. When he performs it live, it's a little different than the one you hear on recording.
Yeah, it's a living document.
Yeah.
Well, it gives a little unique twist to poetic license.
Yeah.
You know, that facts make a difference in terms of what you create, the poetry or the other songwriting. That's a long song, though. That's like 7-8 minutes.
Know. Yeah.
Wow. I'm quite sure he could go on and on and on.
Yeah. I saw him live a couple years ago, probably right before COVID. I think that, and he did, he's got to be in his 80s now, but he did that one. He did the whole song. He did, there were some songs that were like abridged or whatever, and no teleprompter or anything. Just he knew just from memory. Just,
crazy. That's something I'd like to ask Caitlin. Can we?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when I listen to and watch performers, how do you remember all the words? You know what I mean? You know, like you have such a catalog up here. I went to my head with that when I said up here, you know, and I did a gesture.
It is getting harder. I feel like my RAM is full. Especially learning a bunch of covers, it's hard to retain all those. But when it's your songs, it's funny. Like, we just wrote new songs recently, and I just have been back-to-backing. You know, I was practicing the new songs and practicing a cover song, and the covers, you know, when you wrote them, it just is a lot more memorable. It just makes sense to you, and it just comes out of you like it came out the first time, you know. And then when you're trying to recall the lyrics of this new song that somebody else wrote, it's just I always have to reference. I used to be able to memorize cover songs a lot easier. I really do think it's just like, you know, your brain only stores so much information, you know, and it only stores it for a small time. Like, we just did this project called Side Boob, which is our all-female cover band that does only pop hits, female pop hits from the 90s. And we do those, do shows for Halloween. So we learn 15 new pop songs. It's so intense. And we cheat. We have the lyrics on stage for some of them. But it's like studying for the LSATs. You're just like working on them for months and months and months. And then you play them. And then I swear, like, the next month, it's gone.
Gone. It's evaporated. You mentioned the creative process, you and your sister. Does one do the lyrics, one does the music, or do you collaborate, or how does that work?
It's different every time. Yeah.
Would you ever write a song independent of Lori and say, hey, sis?
Yeah, we used to. I mean, I haven't done that in a really long time. My muse is on vacation for a while.
Holiday.
Yeah. Lori's been writing on her own more often lately, but we just did. We went anymore. Like, I can't focus on and just immerse myself in writing unless I, like, really isolate myself. So we just recently, last month, went up to a cabin on Mount Hood, Lori and our bandmate Nico and I, and we just stay up there for 3 days straight and set up our PA and our amps and make it sound how we want it to sound. And then we just sit down and play and strum around and see what comes out. And
see what's sort of like a make an adventure. Was that Nico Case?
Yeah, our bandmate is Nico Case.
Okay, cool.
No big deal.
How neat, you know, in terms of, I'd love to be a fly on the wall and see how, it's one thing if you're a solo artist, but when there's two, you know, how about the music? How do you, maybe this chord or this key or something?
Yeah, it's fun.
Like that.
I like writing with other people more now because it's just, you know, you just have more opinions and we get the ego out of it, you know, like you can't just be... You can't be offended. You know, you throw stuff out there, and if it works for everybody, then you know that it's the best line it can be, you know? So, yeah, sometimes you have to compromise and let things go, but usually we don't compromise. The three of us, when we write together, we all, we work on it until we all agree and we all feel good about it. Otherwise, there are some lines, like, even now when I sing some of my songs and there's a line, they're like, I don't know. That one never worked for me, you know? So I have to be sure.
How have things changed in the band since you got? I mean, for a while you guys were living together in Portland. Mm-hmm. You in the same house, right?
Lori and I.
Nico
lived with us for a while. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nico Case.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nico. pursuing careers as full time musicians, I believe. And that is, your living situation has changed somewhat since then.
Yeah.
But how has that changed life as a band? You don't even live in the same city anymore.
I know. Yeah, I moved home to Sandpoint over two years ago. And it was a convenient time because everything stopped when I moved home with COVID. Mm-hmm. So it was a kind of a lucky transition, if anything was lucky about that time. But and now we kind of just came out of that just being, we wanted to slow down before COVID even happened. And it was getting so hard. We were on the road for over half the year, like 100 shows a year. And it just gets so exhausting, and the grind of driving everywhere. And we lost a little bit of the passion and a little bit of the spark for each show. And then we just decided now, like, let's just do shows that we really want to do and that will bring us joy and in turn bring everybody else joy. Cause that was what the reciprocation wasn't there anymore. I was unhappy. And so it didn't give our audience the same feeling from the stage, I believe, before. So now we're just choosing shows that really bring us joy, which has made us so much happier. It's really great. And I just have to travel a lot more and fly out of Spokane, which is hard, but worth it to live here.
We should probably talk a little bit about the Panada, because look at this, time's flying by. We only have 20 minutes left in the show. You have just this year, it was official, you were elected as a member of the board of directors?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Couple of weeks ago.
Right? Yeah, I joined in April, so I was interim board member until mm-hmm. this last month on October 20th at our annual meeting. I got voted in.
Yeah, unanimously.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So how are things as a board member of the Panada Theater? And what made you say, okay, I'm back in Sandpoint and the organization I want to join is that one, the Panada. What was it about? Yeah, I guess.
I love it. Uh-huh. I've been involved in it for years. I was in this group with Jim, the Panada. What did we call ourselves? The Friends of the Panada? But before the Friends of the Panada, we were the, I don't know. We were just a group of people that cared a lot and wanted.
Yeah.
I got invited by Karen Bowers.
Friends of the Panada.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. I guess it became more official. Mm-hmm. But we would just get together and talk about, like, okay, what can we do to help this current board back then, and urge the ED back then to do a better job, and because we all just saw that things weren't working how the community would really want it to be working. Mm-hmm. And so we did what we could, and I just kind of got the spark back then and realized, like, wow, I could be more involved in this theater because I just love it so much. And so I have just been volunteering and helping for 2 years. And then I finally just said, I should just be on the board. What am I doing? Mm-hmm. So
I'll say it right out front. You know, Caitlin brings energy, enthusiasm, a view of the Panada as a performer. Yeah. And I think that's a different than the way I see it. Mm-hmm. What she brings to the board really rounds out the board in very important ways. And she's just absolutely wonderful in her position.
And Jim Healy, we should mention, is also your chairman of the board, right?
He's the big wig.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Chairman of the board of directors. Also does a wonderful job. Panada Theater. Yeah. So a couple of Panada folks here. Besides the Giving Thanks show, which, once again, that is the Shook Twins, John Craigie, Harold's IGA, Saturday after Thanksgiving, the 26th. What did we say? Doors at 7?
Doors open at 6.
Doors at 6, show at 7.
Show at 7.
Get your tickets now because they are going fast.
And one of the fun things by opening the doors at 6 is, you know, there's the phrase that the Panada is your living room. Mm-hmm. And, go early and you'll find friends whom you know, it's so easy, you know, a town of 8,000. How do you not run into everybody all the time? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, as we all know, you can have traffic patterns that you don't see friends. You know, go to the Shook Twins concert, Giving Thanks concert, and arrive early, and we'll tell you to sit down. We're starting the music because, you know, it's a very friendly environment. And I think that's something important, which makes the Panada such a valued institution here in Sandpoint.
Yeah. What else is coming up at the Panada?
Tonight, I don't have the thing with me, but besides the Panada Board November community meeting, we have the POAC event of the woman who participated in the horse race in Mongolia. And she's going to talk about that experience and where as you are on the course, the race course, you live with families and you become aware of the culture. And so that's tonight.
Yeah, that it's sounds interesting.
All the Wild Horses?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
With Lena Haug. Mm-hmm. Haug.
That's a documentary?
Well, she's going to be there.
But she's there.
And I don't, I think
it is a documentary as well. Yeah. But she'll do a Q&A, I think, or something.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I don't know how long the movie is or how, you know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you love adventure, if you love horses, if you like different locales other than Sandpoint, this is quite the place to be tonight. And that's, I think, at 7.
Mm-hmm. The longest and toughest horse race on the planet.
Whoa.
How about that?
Yeah, and it's not Hidalgo.
No.
Sorry, Vigo.
What? Yeah, go ahead.
And I was going to say that, and then I think on Saturday we have a comedian coming.
It looks like that's tomorrow, actually, right? Or
The 25th?
The 18th. Yeah.
Oh,
tomorrow.
Gosh,
Brendan Gay, the 18th at 7 p.m.
That's in the Little Theater.
Doors open
the Little Theater. And then on Sunday, the 20th, there will be a matinee, the Global Cinema Cafe series. Danny Boyle's Millions. There'll be the matinee, and then there'll be an evening performance. And Danny Boyle is the one who did Slumdog Millionaire yesterday. If you haven't seen yesterday, that's fun. A guy wakes up and starts penning Beatles lyrics,
right.
And he doesn't know where this comes from. And he's a big that's. But Millions is a delightful story of a young boy who comes across a chunk of change. He has cardboard boxes down by the railroad tracks, and all of a sudden, a duffel bag, boom, 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 and all of this money, and he wants to do good with it. It's really a heartwarming movie. So that is Millions. I think it's 2:30 and 6:30 on Sunday.
That's what it looks like here.
And then the next event is the Shook Twins giving thanks on the 26th at the Panada Theater. Tickets are available, panada.org. There'll probably be some at the door, but I wouldn't count on it.
Who knows? But we're hoping that's the case.
Yes. And that is at 7 o'clock on the 26th. Doors open at 6.
And there you go. And do you think the Shook Twins are going to do this forever? The annual Giving Thanks show?
I want to. So
yeah.
We'll be 90 up there.
Yeah.
You think, gosh, when you're 90.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's not go there.
I mean,
if the world is still here, we'll do it.
No, I guess I was saying earlier that it was a big deal to some extent when it looked, you know, in 2021 when it was like, oh, they're doing it again, because it was also kind of part of a feels like the kickoff of the holiday season to some extent.
Aww, that's a cool way.
Yeah, I mean, it's after Thanksgiving, but then it is sort of like everybody who you haven't seen in a little while. Mm-hmm. You'll see him there. It's one of those major. It's become, you know, it's not an official City of Sandpoint event or anything, but it is, as far as the area goes, it seems like one of those events where you'll get together, one of the main kind of community gathering places, and everybody who hasn't seen each other since, you know, Labor Day or whatever is like, oh, what have you been up to? Mm-hmm. Here we go. That's get there early.
It's a celebration of community.
Yeah, you know? It's definitely what it feels like. That's why it's so. This show is just unlike any other show we do. Like I said, too,
and lots of very positive energy. Again, the 26th of November. Be there or be elsewhere.
Don't be elsewhere.
Yeah, don't be elsewhere. Be at the Panada.
Yeah.
Anything else about the Panada?
That's my area. That's what I was going to say. What else is coming up? What do you expect to do at the board meeting tonight, or the public board meeting?
Yeah. Well, we intend to update on the Panada Century Fund. We have launched a 5-phase strategic plan heading towards 2027, the celebration of the 100 years of the Panetta Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And through a generous donation of Ting, they will match the first $200,000. And what's nice about that is this would be matching donations $5,000 or less. In other words, you know, the entire community can participate in it. And, you know, there are a lot of people in the community who are struggling these mm-hmm. days. If you got a dollar, that becomes $2. If you got $5, that's 10. And I think that's wonderful from Ting to, you know, they want to target the small donors. Mm-hmm. And again, the community rallying around. So we're going to be talking about that tonight. And I think that's important that we show progress. Our first phase is roof and a sprinkler system. Because Lord knows what would happen if anything happened, you know, like what happened down a block south with the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you go into the Panetta Theater, the seats, if you look in the center section, they are not up to date matching the other seats in the theater. So we can spend your money. And that's just phase one. Mm-hmm. And well, also part of phase one was the lighting up the marquee. And
check.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Did that.
Check, did that. And yeah, when about a year and a half ago, only about 10% of it was lit.
Mm-hmm.
And on a dark night.
Oh, wow.
On a dark night with the bullhead changing colors. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And a big thanks goes out to Doug Jones for doing a lot of behind the scenes work, lining up people and coordinating that event.
Yeah. As well as out front, in front of the Panetta work, I saw him just the other day up on a ladder behind a little velvet rope, I think, changing something at the marquee.
He changes the reader board on the marquee. When he was in high school here, and I'm not going to mention when, that he would project movies. And so this has been like, he's been a staple at the Panetta Theater. And he projects and he mm-hmm. does handiwork around there. He does posters. He does graphics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, the sound booth was just dedicated to him.
That's right.
It's now called the Doug Jones Projection Room. Is
that what it is? Or sound booth? Light something booth? Like that. Yeah. He went up there, cleaned it out, redid some painting on it, and it now will, into perpetuity, be the Doug Jones. When mm-hmm. the Shook twins are 90 years old up on the stage, mm-hmm. the sound will be coming from the Doug Jones.
Yes.
That's cool.
I think so. I think it's wonderful. So, yeah, there's a lot of good things. And then, gosh, you know, in December's going to be just a kicking month at the Panetta. Just lots of events. And, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
What we can do is play a little music if you want
and
talk about some other community events going
on. Sure. And mm-hmm. and let Caitlin get into her day so she mm-hmm. can prep for the Panetta Board community meeting for November at 6:00 in the Little Theater.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Be there and don't be elsewhere.
tickets are available online at panetta.org. Anywhere else?
No, we simplified.
Yeah,
we stopped.
Easy schmeezy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, it was nice to have them at iCarts, but it was when we were in Portland, my mom used to have to replenish them all the time, and it was very confusing.
Yeah.
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So. And what song do we have queued up? And maybe Caitlin can do the intro to it.
Sure. We've got Safe pulled up. How's that?
Safe is a song that Lori and I wrote together, but I wrote most of the lyrics. But it's about her breakup. So it's interesting. It's an outside perspective.
Okay, it's your turn, sis. You write the one about my breakup.
It just came out that way.
And make me look good.
Yeah. And this song, I'm really proud of this song. We have two versions. And one of the first version we released was just the two of us on our duo album. And that one got on a Spotify playlist, and it has the most streams. It has almost 3 million streams on Spotify,
whoa,
which is very exciting.
Wow.
But that's really nothing compared to, you know, all the huge, huge people that have billions and billions. But still, something to be proud of.
Do you start seeing revenue at a certain point from that?
We see a little bit, but it's really very negligible.
Yeah, fractions of a penny per play or something
exactly,
like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, here we go with Safe by the Shook Twins, who are again at the Panada Theater on the 26th. Tickets available at panada.org.
That is Safe by the Shook Twins, who will be appearing at the Panada Theater, their Giving Thanks concert with John Craigie and Harold's IGA on Saturday, November 26th at 7 p.m. Doors open at 6. Get your tickets online because right now they are going like hotcakes.
Like hotcakes.
Yes. Okay. Upcoming events. Tonight is the Casa Purse Party at Ponderay Winery at 301 Cedar from 4 to 7. CASA is court-appointed special advocates. It protects and advocates for Idaho children in need of a safe and healthy home. You bring a friend, you purchase a purse, enjoy a glass of wine, and support this necessary cause. That is tonight at the Ponderay Winery at 301 Cedar, 4 to 7.
Okay. Hey, no cover charge either, but you buy a purse. That's the idea. This weekend, the Christmas Craft Fair is going on out at the Bonner County Fairgrounds. Jeez, last weekend was the ski swap. This weekend, it's the Christmas Craft Fair. How many more fairs do you think there'll be in this holiday season?
Like a gazillion.
This is at the Bonner County Fairgrounds Saturday and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Another free admission event. You can go and check out local artisans, handmade gifts, plus food and treats and activities. And Santa will be there from noon to 2 p.m. Expect a packed house because all the booths are full this year. Now, to enter, you must bring 2 non-perishable food items. Oh, sorry. Never mind. That's the that's to enter the gingerbread competition, I believe. That's to enter the gingerbread competition. However, you should bring 2 non-perishable food items if you can to go as well and donate to the Bonner Community Food Bank.
And speaking of that, there is still a great need for turkeys.
Yes.
And Debbie Love was here a week ago. You know, as you're out doing shopping, keep in mind those who are less fortunate and who have great need during these holidays, and you can donate them to the Bonner Community Food Bank, and particularly the turkeys, and get them there early enough so they can defrost.
Yes.
That would be important. Tonight, also, at the Panada, an evening with Lena Hogg, All the Wild Horses, a screening of the award-winning film All the Wild Horses documentary, The Amazing Mongol Derby, the longest endurance horse race in the world, followed by a conversation with local equestrian Lena Hogg about her personal experience racing across the Mongolian desert this summer. It's at the Panada Theater. Doors open at 6, film at 7. And there'll be a Q&A afterwards sponsored by POAC.
Are you a horseback rider, Jim? An equestrian?
No.
Have you ever been on a horse?
Yes, and I didn't enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, anything that puts distance between me and terra firma.
Yeah.
Even like going up for a rebound in those days when I could made me nervous. You know, how about you? Are you a horseman?
I've been on a horse like once, I think. And I think I would what I want is a sleigh. I think I could do a sleigh.
Ooh.
Right behind the horse, you know.
Yeah.
That seems more comfortable. Tonight also live music at McDuff's Beer Hall with Brian Jacobs, friend of KRFY, from 6 to 8 p.m. at McDuff's Beer Hall. You can paint and sip with Nicole Black as well at Barrel 33, a place I still have not been. Have you been down there yet?
No, the
new place over.
When you come heading east on Pine, right there at the T.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hear nice things about it. Haven't been yet.
I have not either.
But you can do a paint and sip there tonight if you're interested.
Also tomorrow night, the Brendan Gay Comedy Show. That'll be at the Little Theater at the Panada. The show starts at 7. Doors open at 6:30. He's a Midwestern comedian, and he's been all. I'm looking at his list of the different places where he's appeared, and finally we get him at the Panada.
All right. Turkey Bingo, the Sandpoint Lions Club. At,
I didn't know turkeys played bingo.
Uh-huh. The Farmhouse Banquet Room, which the address is 477-227 US 95 North. It's a the Sandpoint Lions Toys for Tots program presents this event from on Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. and on Saturday from 12 to 4 p.m. Hand dip corn dogs, popcorn, and sweets while you're there, as well as several raffle prizes to win. And I don't know exactly what turkey bingo is, but I'm interested.
It should be fun. I see we're edging towards 9 o'clock. One last thing I want to say is the Global Cinema Cafe on Sunday, the showing at 2:30 and 6:30, real briefly. This is a film about a young boy who finds a bag of money in his backyard. He and his brother decide to try to spend it without telling their father. And throughout the movie, he seeks advice from imaginary saints with whom he converses. And it's really a touching story, and I highly recommend it. And that'll be 2:30 and 6:30 Global Cinema Cafe series at the Panada Theater this Sunday.
And lastly, it is Jack Frost Fest this weekend at the Greenery Arts District.
That's right. Yeah. And on this date, in 1980, John Lennon and Yoko Ono released the Double Fantasy album, and we'll start the next hour after Bird Note with two cuts from it, because we all know what happens 3 weeks later after the release of this album.
We keep jumping in with like one more event, but it's 9 o'clock. We got to go. It's time for Bird
Happy
Note.
Happy Thanksgiving. I won't be here, but you have a good one, Jack, and everyone else out there have a good one.
We will have morning shows next week, however, and hopefully they'll be at full power. So tune in. I'll be here on Thursday morning playing Arlo Guthrie's Alice's Restaurant Massacre.
Massacre, the great 20 minutes of it.
Yeah, the great Thanksgiving epic. And who knows what else we'll be doing. But anyway, thanks for listening to the morning show. Thanks to Caitlin Shook. Stay tuned for Bird Note and Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long after that.